Shalom, is my sound coming through okay? Alright, good sound. Thanks God. Shalom everyone. If anyone else would like to try their mic and say their shalom, please go ahead.
Salam everyone.
Salam everyone, don't be shy. I hope my sound is okay.
Shalom, everyone. Is my sound okay? Thank God.
Shalom, everyone. Good to see everyone. I hope my sound is coming through okay.
Good to see you too, Keisha, and everyone else. Great to be here. Oh, wait, just one more minute. All right, the people who are having trouble can join in as we get started, but we're 5 minutes in, so Shalom everyone. How's everyone doing? Good? It's a great time of year.
Shalom, yeah. I'm doing good here. It's not great time of the year here, though.
It's not really a great time of year here. We're right next to Christmas and New Year. That was sarcasm. If we could add the skiing to the time between Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles, that'd be the best time of year.
Well, it's interesting that in the spring the life starts, and in the Feast of Tabernacle, that is when the winter comes and the darkness returns to the world. And exactly that's the period God said have the feast of godly way, and after the darkness comes, it is start the feast of other beings. But that's interesting, that's the time of the light, and now it's cold and dark and not very good time.
So, if anyone else wants to say, you know, introduce themselves or say how they're doing, anything interesting, any topics they want to bring up. The floor is yours before I bring up our topics that, you know, we can talk about if no one else has anything. So please go ahead. Anyone? All right, well, if anyone has anything, you know, jump in, but we can hit something up we usually end up talking about the news brief in this meeting because it's they're so interesting each month and they're great, but I specifically wanted to ask or start a discussion about Maitreya's article about evolution, and all of us were kind of brought up at different times. We went to school at different times. You know, I'm sure we were taught different things about evolution and about science and all of this. And I wanted to hear everyone's feedback on, you know, the way that they learned about evolution and about science in general, and comparing that to what Maitreya said. You know, discussion about that or contemplation. So. All right, I should probably ask if everyone here has read the article first.
Yeah, that was a great article. In fact, while I was reading about those things, it came out on a news brief, and it was great. Great points.
I mean, I myself was, you know, when I was taught in class, you know, just last year and 2 years ago, I was taught that we came from Africa. That's the way it is. Actually, in the class that I was, that I took just last year in college before I graduated, they devoted an entire 3 weeks to, why creationism is wrong and it's all, you know, random and we all came from Africa. It was very, very pointed. You know what I mean? It wasn't like they knew, you know, without question. And and then of course now that, you know, I dig a little deeper myself, like okay, yeah, genetics is interesting, but the fact is we don't know that much about it, and they're basing all of this stuff off of these small things, like, and then Maitreya's one sentence refutes all of it. It's kind of ridiculous, but that's what I was taught. there's just no doubt, you know, that's the way that they explain it to me. That's the way it is.
Actually, I can remember years ago, years and years ago, when my TG first mentioned about the possibility that birds may have come from dinosaurs, that dinosaurs evolved into birds. And it was a radical idea from my biology background. But it turned out 20 years later, the scientists now have no doubt that birds have come from dinosaurs. So we'll see what scientists do in the next few years.
Yeah, one thing I realized when I was in college studying biology was I was so interested in these things and reading the whole book, like the chapters, even if they were not even if I was not responsible for that for a midterm or a final, I was reading it, and the thing was, what it sounded to me like was they had a lot of information. Which was confusing sometimes without a definite answer all the time. But the feeling I got was they're making these assumptions based on like small little bit of data and then talking about it with like so sure, you know, so absolute. So that was the feeling I got, like evolution and everything, just like Noor said. Absolute, without open to other options. And one thing I didn't like about the scientific theories is, you know, until they're not proven wrong, they just assume it's okay. Even if they know it, it might not be right. So, yeah.
Yeah, they're actually pretty hypocritical about that. Because they say, you know, that's exactly what they say they don't do, you know, is it's supposed to never be done like that. That's the base of, you know, their whole science is it's a theory. It's never proven, but they act like it is all the time.
Yeah, they find one small part of a jaw of one animal millions of years ago, of one human millions of years ago, and they make these huge assumptions from that one small piece of bone. It's kind of ridiculous.
Of course, schools didn't teach anything like what Maitreya was talking about in the article. I had actually never thought about the fact of the possibility of different things evolving in different places on the Earth, possibly at the same time or same time period. So I thought that was really fascinating, and it makes an awful lot of sense, much more sense than most of the things that have been come up.
I mean, scientists already know that happens with other animals. It's called convergent evolution. You know, they find something in Australia and something in the United States that looks pretty similar and does the same stuff and fills the same role in the nature. It's just at the opposite end of the world. And, you know, they say, well, the environments are the same, so the same thing was evolved, you know. But you know, that doesn't happen with us. Okay.
Again, it goes back to that either or. Why can't you believe in both? You can believe in an intelligent creator and also evolution that was designed by the intelligent creator. It's not either one. You can believe in it all.
Yeah, in fact, the scientific community is a pretty dogmatic one too. Also, like there are, I think, some scientists who are finding these and try to bring these concepts together, or you know, finding more things. But you know, when they publish a paper or try to like make these things known, I think the community does not accept that, or you know, they are not welcome, or you know, those dogmatic things also happen in their community. And also like whoever has more power try not to let go. You know, all the ego trips are there too. So not everything is, at least before the internet or before the spread of the use of the internet, it was a lot of different story. But now I think a lot of facts are also being found, and these things are coming together, or at least closer.
How about in the future? You know, when we get more and more we have more and more understanding of genetics, and has anyone ever seen the movie Gattaca? It doesn't matter, but you know, in the future, when we can actually like see what a person is, you know, do you think like it would ever be possible that, you know, before a child is born, we can already sometimes see if they're going to have a disease or not, you know, based on their parents? I just wonder how far that's going to go. And I have a, you know, we can talk about that a little bit if anyone has anything, but then I have a bit of a, I guess, an interesting question to pose based off of that. All right. If anyone has anything, just jump in. But I wanted to ask this because I think it's a very interesting question. And I think it applies, you know, we can look at it from the mission's viewpoint and see if we can come to a conclusion and talk about this. So say that the husband of the married couple gets his genome tested, and it's shown that he has a 25% chance of passing on, you know, a terrible disease to his child if he has one, like something that's fatal or debilitating for life or something like that. In terms of being godly, or in terms of what the society should do, or in terms of what they should do, should they have a child or not? Or what are the implications of them having a child? What's the, you know, how would you deal with a situation like that if that was presented to you? So I'm going to open the floor for that. I thought that was an interesting question. Do you have something to say, Samuel? Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. If a man and or a woman does have a percentage of some possible disease to pass on, first of all, they have that percentage based on their own, their own cause and effect from prior lifetimes. And go ahead and have children, because a child who does not have that lesson to learn will not receive that specific disease. But if a being does have that lesson to learn, then they will be born with a percentage of that disease so that they have the opportunity to learn their lesson. So that's just an idea about not necessarily eradicating bad things genetically.
Any agreement or disagreement to that?
Well, yeah, I think this is not just a white or black question, or as an answer in just white and black, but the situation and everything has to be put into account. And I agree in the sense that the decision has to be maybe left to the community and the parents. You know, the others should not. Probably, you know, try to affect them too much. But yeah, it should be thought thoroughly, probably, before coming to a final decision about these things. Seeing all the angles, all the, you know, how it will affect the family, the society, or the person that will be born. What stage is in the society is in, and everything.
I think one of the most detrimental things that we have in the Western society is that we don't know about reincarnation. And so there's this grabbing onto life like there's no end. If you know there's reincarnation, then you know that perhaps this is not the lifetime to have children, that maybe this is the lifetime that you should be sannyasin, and you know that in another lifetime, perhaps, you know, that genetic problem might not be there. But I think it's such an important thing to understand about reincarnation in order to meditate deeply and contemplate about what is the best for you, for your children, for your family, for your community, for the whole society of the world.
Yeah, I thought Samuel had an interesting point. So if a person knows that they have a chance of passing on, you know, a fatal disease to their child, is that a lesson? Is that giving the parents like a lesson that they should learn, you know, to become sannyasins that lifetime and resist the temptation to have a child, the desire to have a child because of this? Or, as Samuel was saying, is it in fact them seeing, I guess, a possible karmic future for their child? I had never thought of it that way.
I have friends that were told during the pregnancy that their child could be born or will be born with extreme physical disabilities, and it was suggested to them of the choice of an abortion, and they spoke to their spiritual teacher, who advised them that this is a karmic lesson for the child. And what I have observed over the last 7 or 8 years that they have had this child is that it's an extreme lesson for the parents and for the support family of the parents and for the friends. It's been a magnificent lesson for everyone. So a child born with great defects and with a limited possibility of living very long is a marvelous experience for society.
It makes me think of families that have kids with Down syndrome or autism, and sometimes it's just such an incredible experience for the family. And, you know, sometimes it's incredible in a great, great way, and sometimes it's incredible in even a horrendous way. Interesting how the lessons can be so various.
I was just going to say, I think that's a really good point from Samuel, and I think it probably depends on the situation, and it also depends on what the gene is. There is a condition, a muscle dystrophy condition called Duchenne's, and it's very devastating for the patient. I've seen children with it, and they always end up in a wheelchair, and they always end up actually having trouble breathing, and they essentially die from suffocation. So it's quite sad. I think Duchenne's dystrophy, probably, if that's in your genetic background, it would be best for the human race if that one is probably eradicated, and it can be eradicated. But there's other situations where maybe it doesn't have to be eradicated, where it's more a karmic kind of relationship.
First of all, I think that's a very interesting question, Noor. But to me, it just creates more confusion. I think there's too much focus on seeing into the future. Because then it starts putting your mindset on something other than God. And if we're supposed to put our mind on God all the time, it takes that focus away. And I know what you're talking about, too, with nowadays there's so much genetic testing and all. My sister-in-law just had some testing and it showed that she was predisposed to some certain illnesses. You know, and nowadays you have women taking these tests and they're predisposed to breast cancer, and so they're cutting off their breast. You know, so it just goes on and on and on. And to me, it's just, I don't know, it's It's a little scary. I think it's too much focus on the future, seeing the future.
Yeah, so the question that I, you know, like, if a husband and a wife, before they're pregnant, you know, get testing done like that, and God reveals to them this question, like, it's a very difficult decision from then on, because, you know, I think what Tahira said, you know, there are people that take it too far, clearly, like, they you know, as she said, they get obsessed with the future instead of thinking about it logically. But then, on the other hand, you know, if you get tested and you realize that any child you have may, you know, may be dead or crippled for life, you know, dead in a couple of years or crippled for life, then that's a very heavy decision to make to have a child. You know, if your desire is so great, then maybe that's a lesson to teach you, you know, and to become a sannyasin. Or, you know, on the other hand, I don't know, it's just like, if God makes that aware to you, what does that mean, you know? I don't want to get too intellectual with this discussion. We don't have to, you know, start looking at every single circumstance, but just a little peek into what, you know, the questions that people in the future might have to think about. I thought it was, you know, we can, you know, if anyone else has anything else to add, we can continue, of course, and see what else this will take us. But if not, I do have one other thing we can talk about. But please let this go on as long as anyone has anything to say. Go ahead.
Well, just another thing is the future. I think it all depends. Like, if we are talking after the tribulation, or if we are talking about in a community of light in the future or not, or if you're talking about now, I think these all make a difference. The mindset now, in the mindsets now, is God is put out pretty much in everything. So people do not look at things as what's in it for me, what's the lesson, how does it go along with my dharma or karma and all those things. But in the future, ideally in a community of light, people faced with a situation like this, hopefully we'll look at these things from the point of view of what's the lesson in this, or what's my dharma, and how is this gonna affect me, my family, my, you know, the society, the whole world. And hopefully with the spiritual guidance from God and with their elders and everything, they should be able to come up with the situation and solution. Maybe, as Saraji said, maybe it's not time for them to have a children. They should, you know, channel their energy to something else. Maybe help other children in the society who need help. And, you know, could use some a good family environment. Or maybe these findings are pushing some scientific research which could benefit everyone. Any other people or the society in general, so they can become, you know, tools for that, or, you know, all those things. I think that will be absolutely fantastic in a community of light. But what's the reason for God bringing this up to their attention, so that maybe there are greater reasons behind that, so they can realize it. But as far as now goes, I think that's a different situation. People are looking at it from their own point of view, selfishly, and usually just get upset with things or try to control it with intellectually. But hopefully this should not be the situation in the future.
I believe that it is a karmic situation, both for a child that lives a very short and painful life. It is a great opportunity for that soul to grow and to maybe pay a price. And also for the difficulty that parents may have in being responsible to the child is a great opportunity and a karmic healing. So I'm not for death of a tough situation. I believe it's all in a form of perfection, heading toward reunification with God.
And if you really study the difference between what scientists believe about evolution and what Maitreji teaches about evolution, it's not survival of the fittest, but it's the fittest survive, which means the consciousness demands an evolutionary change for a new body. So as the consciousness of beings evolve and become higher and higher and more subtle and more in tune with the spirit, they're going to demand more perfect bodies, and I think it's going to be just a natural phenomena that will happen. And the other thing I wanted to mention was when I was pregnant, I was old. I was 37 years old. I was told constantly that I was too small, my baby was going to be in trouble, it was going to be perhaps a Down's baby, there was going to be difficulties, my baby was too small. And right now, my child is almost 6 foot, so sometimes scientists don't know what they're talking about, too.
Well, I do have Tourette's syndrome.
Just another point about, kind of like living it to its own courses, though. Like, if you look at the Eternal Divine Path, also, like, from the fifth seal to going to the sixth, it's, becoming a dynamic spiritual force. Rather than just observing the perfection, some things maybe sometimes could be accelerated. So again, I think depending on the situation, sometimes maybe not interfering, but if there's an opportunity to better it, to make it faster, or make it accelerate the progress for those who needs to get those kind of lessons, and maybe without having the difficulty of a, defected body or having an illness, learn those lessons or cosmic karmic situations, with meditation, with going through the experience, not physically, but, with other kinds of experiences. So, I think in the future, that could be done too.
Yeah, I agree with that. I wanted to say that, if we take the universe as it is and say that it is perfect, well, I mean, of course it is, but what I mean is, and say that we can't change or try to, get rid of diseases and stuff, then, because they are part of the karmic relationship, then, for example, we've eradicated smallpox and we take antibiotics for diseases, or we get surgery and things like that. Those are all sort of diverting the most natural course of things, which is, originally when the human, the average age was, 33 or 32. But I think actually you could argue that there was a lesson to be learned in the eradication of smallpox, that, that we have learned the lesson that, like, human, science has things to offer, and we have to look at the welfare of the whole universe too, of all humanity, and, the less disease that we have, the stronger people can be to progress and grow and live longer, and think about that. I have a feeling that even if we eradicated every disease on Earth, we would still pay for our karma. I don't think that there's any way to get, out of the karma except for learning the lesson. Even if there is no disease on Earth, God has, the karmic lesson would be learned no matter what. But I do think that, human science, we can't just ignore its advantages and the fact that we can use it to, increase population and bring us farther forward in terms of, health and stuff like that. So it's a very delicate situation as more and more things are going to be now that, we're striving to, time, place, and person and really find the answer instead of following, a dogma. Yeah, it's interesting.
meditation is a great learning experience. It opens our consciousness to a great many things that would absolutely not be available to us if we did not meditate. So as society increasingly in numbers meditates, I think there will be an evolution of a cleaner, less diseased-filled society.
Okay, well, any last comments, go ahead. I think we can wrap it up here for that topic. I think that was a great discussion, brought up a lot of good points. Yeah, I like that. Thanks, Kevin. Okay, one more thing that I thought we could discuss also kind of deals with the news brief, which is that it's more down to earth, but you know, if you read the news brief, you know that Second Life is now closing, which is too bad. You know, it was a great program and a great way of outreach. But at the same time, we've now developed you know, we now have a page on MySpace for the mission, and we also have a page. All thanks to God, you know, from Tahira, at the, what's it called? Alliance for a New Humanity, I think, on Ning. These two social networks where we have new places on the mission. And, I don't know, all of these, it just sort of like brought to my attention the idea of spreading the mission over the internet. And, you know, we've closed down one place, we've opened two more. And, what else could we do? You know, we're trying to get the mission out everywhere. And, the internet is such a wide place that we could, you know, think of ways to spread it, and it sounds like we're getting more and more into it. Maybe God is leading us in this direction to have more social networking sites and other things. And any thoughts on, you know, any brainstorming on what else we could do on the internet? You know, it's free and it's simple, but I bet we could reach a lot of people if we have some good ideas. So anything? Are there any more websites like that, Tahira, that you found or have noticed?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear all the question. I had to leave the room for one minute and come right back. But you're talking about the Allied Alliance for a New Humanity.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you know that there are other, you know, if you happen to come across any other websites like that, you know, because you sort of just came up with that one, so I was wondering if you found any others or you know, any other, I don't know, anything interesting to share about that.
Well, I know that on that particular site, you can go into with your own name, and you can also go into the group, which finally, God made it possible for me to open up the one for the Mission of Maitreya as a group, and then you can also come in with your name. So that particular site, there are so many off branches on that one. I haven't really gone into that more, but there are also like Facebook and Twitter that I know that are available. Actually, Samuel, You can even, if you just, you don't really, it's not hard to get on to the Alliance one. You just, if you click the URL that I've given you, you can go right in there and just become a member of the mission, of the group, because the more members we have, the better it would be. It's very simple, actually. I just sort of stumbled upon how to do it myself. So if you need any advice or questions answered, I'd be happy also to help.
I just wanted to say that I have found that site, Tahara. It was very, very easy to sign up for it, thanks God. And I found it very enjoyable. I must say I'm kind of have not been very good about being on things like Facebook or MySpace or Twitter or anything like that. But I found the New Alliance, you know, to be really helpful and fun, and I feel comfortable with it. I probably need to do a lot more exploring with it, but it's great to know that things like that do exist out there. And, yeah, good idea to explore further possibilities.
There's one that I became a member of. It's called Global Oneness Community. I really haven't had a chance to do much with it, but it had a really nice name, Global Oneness Community. And actually, if you do a search for, like, oneness or world oneness or earth oneness, you'll find a bunch of chat rooms. And another one that I wanted to get into was Friendster. And Friendster is the main chat room kind of format for the eastern areas, for China and Asia and India and places like that. And I thought that would be a great place for outreach.
That's a really great idea, Friendster. Friendster's fascinating. It tried to do well in the West and got beaten up by MySpace and Facebook. So it went to the other side of the world. And it's doing fantastic there. It's an interesting story.
I think one good thing about these type of sites is that you can go in at your own time, and you know you can post back and forth. Like sometimes I'm up late, so I have it's good for me to go on, you know, at a later hour because it's quiet in my area, and so you can respond to people at different times. You know, if you're a morning person, an afternoon, a night, or whatever. I think that's one of the nice parts about these type of websites. You don't have to be all there together at the same time. And you can, you know, just check in and out. And like on the Mission of Maitreya group, I've been posting every day, trying to post every day, some teachings, whatever I happen to be drawn to put onto the website, which is, it's there. So whoever wants to check the group, if they go in and see all these groups and they see the logo and they want to check it, they can go in. And when they go in, they'll read some of the teachings. So that, to me, it works for me. I think we all have different things that work for us, you know, as an outreach for the mission. So thanks God for that.
I wish we had some. I wish we had somebody that knew Mandarin, actually, because I did some research about the China social networking when I was in college, and it's just enormous there. They you know, they're so used to sort of a very kind of oppressive culture and government, and they love the internet because they can, you know, talk on there and branch out. We could reach millions of people just so easily. So that's something to look for in the future. But another good one is Twitter. I had my eye on that one for a while. I guess we all did. But it's another big one. It just seems like the best way to spread the teachings right now, because we have people And we have the will and the enthusiasm, we just don't have the finances. So, you know, the internet's free, so.
And Eunice, there was something that you sent out that I joined. I don't think I ever got real familiar with it, and I can't exactly remember the name of it. It was like Beyond Mind or something like that. And I did join it and checked in on it occasionally, but I don't know that I ever really got the hang of that one, but I thought that was interesting when...
Yeah, that's true. I think, in fact, it wasn't the same social network site, the Ning.com, that the one that Tahira has, Alliance for a New Humanity. I was just testing it and started with the name Beyond Mind, yeah. But it's not very active right now.
I find it fascinating when you go to these different areas and you see someone in the mission and they have the symbol of the greatest sign. It's just so unifying to see the greatest sign here, and you see the greatest sign over there and in that chat room, and it's pretty neat. Like in the one that Tahira started, I that's beautiful to see all the different groups, and the greatest sign just stands out so dynamically.
And it's nice when all of our profile pictures are the greatest sign. If you look right now on that social networking site, it's, you know, the greatest sign is the group, and then there's like four of us with the greatest sign also. It's everywhere. And that's true on Facebook too. If you ever become friends with me and Eunice and all of us, we all have the greatest sign there too. It's just a whole coalition. What is that saying? Two people, when two people unite, God is with them. Well, we have 10 right now. So if there's any other thoughts on that, go right ahead. That was my game plan for this meeting. So any other thoughts or anything interesting in your lives? Anything, you know, any great outreach, any great people you've talked to, or anything godly? Go right ahead. Leon, we're having our members meeting right now. If you're interested in reading our teachings, please go to the website that was just posted.
What does everybody think about the climate change conference that they're having in Copenhagen? What's everybody's thought on that?
Interesting, but you know, it made me think of something. We have something here called True TV, and there's a show about this conspiracy theory, and there's supposed to be this place up in Alaska by the government where supposedly it's within the armed forces somewhere, like this big secret, that there's possibly the ability to control the weather, and some question about whether, you know, the government is even possibly behind some of the global warming, is very, very interesting, watching it.
Did you guys happen to see the news tonight about how the protesters were, there were protesters outside saying that they weren't doing enough, and there were protesters inside that they allowed in? I thought they would be the calm ones, the toned down ones. Or actually, yeah, let's go to Maitreya's question. What does everyone think about the conspiracy theories? Maitreya, did you mean in general or this specific one about controlling the weather?
Well, in the last year or so, I have been so many people coming to the mission and telling me this government doing that, that government doing that, and there's a conspiracy. The people all over the world are complaining that there is something happening, and some people think, you know, there is a unification to do something onto Earth, and some people that think they are in fight with me and gonna fight me and all that. So I was wondering, how about this group think about conspiracy theory? Do you guys believe in it, or does it make sense? There's so many people have come to the mission and talked to me about it, you know, and just interesting to see anybody else does. Yeah, in general.
I definitely, if I could give some feedback, I definitely think there's something to them. I mean, we know the government has had secrets about regarding UFOs and that type of thing. And you know, interesting thing that occurred to me thinking about it in the last day or two was how different it is from the mission, that the way the governments are keeping secrets, you know, from people. I guess they think maybe it's for people's own good, but, you know, and the mission is so wide open, you know, they wouldn't be, you know, the, you know, Maitreya, you have said, you know, that actually we don't have any secrets. We can just invite people in. So I was just thinking about that contrast there regarding government. Let me release my mic just a sec.
What the Bible say about conspiracy theory? Does it say anything about it?
Well, one thing for sure, all scriptures, I think, talks about rumors, especially at the end time.
There are things in the Bible that conspiracy theories have referred to, like the Nephilim. I'm not sure if that's what you mean.
Why the Armageddon comes to exist? Why is that necessary? Is that has anything to do with the conspiracy theory? Another question is, should we be concerned about conspiracy theory?
Well, we should be focused on light, on the solution, rather than on darkness and confusion. So, like everything else, some theories could have some truth in them, you know. But I think the reason the humanity is gonna go through tribulation is not the conspirators or the conspiracy theories. It's the responsibility is on every individual. Not that some group is trying to control others, and that they are the reasons or you know, for the wrong things or bad things that are being done. And they say they're trying to make the conspiracy theories, finally, I think, are trying to make people believe in devil more than anything else. It exists. Try to do that, and it's controlling you somehow. Even if it's the government, the people that control the government, which could have some truth. Every powerful person tries to use that power to, you know, make things according to their own benefits. But this is not necessarily true for someone, you know, who is searching for light, for God, know his teachings, you know, and focused on those things.
I guess if we concentrate on everything that Maitreji teaches, everything in the website, all the discourses that he's given, all the satsangs, and all of Tho, I don't think there's too much room left to think about conspiracy theories.
Well, and Maitreya says in satsangs, you know, were not to concentrate on the devil, and it sounds like, you know, that really has little to do with God. It was just that my mind did go that when it was talking about the weather, because that was something recently that, you know, I had heard about. It was interesting. I guess that's the idea in getting our mind off the mission.
I'm just trying to provoking questions in your minds to think about. It's not, you know, to discuss or accept one theory over the other, but, you know, there's so many things going in the world. And what is the truth all this? Do they have any truth in them? Should we concentrate on them? Should we just concentrate on the mission and not the darkness, and go toward the creation of communities of light? But this darkness is affecting us at the same time. Or should we wrap ourselves in light, so don't let this darkness around us affect us? And if we follow what the darkness does the darkness affect us? Or we can say we are in the light, but at the same time follow the darkness, and then how can we be in the light if still darkness is still in us? Just provoking thoughts.
Well, you know, interesting along that line is, because I live alone, I do one of two things often. I will listen to the computer and listen to the missions room, which is very wonderful and comforting. And then the other thing I do is to turn on the TV, and we'll watch stuff on the TV. And it is, I have often thought about, you know, should I just be maybe just turning on the computer and listening to the missions room and being involved only in the mission stuff all the time, wondering if that would benefit me more. Of course, not to the point of being so close that I'm not aware of the world, but, you know, it kind of goes along with what you're saying, because thinking about, you know, how much time do you spend on the worldly things? And everything on TV right now is all about Christmas, and that sure isn't so great at all.
Yeah, the goal is to be in the world but not of it. You know, that is the ultimate goal. But I mean, maybe if we're not at the point yet that we can be in the world but not of it, maybe it's best to be out of the world, but not. But then that might be, you know, becoming escapist. I guess it's just difficult. but with God's grace, we can do it.
Yes, you said it. God's grace will we do it. We will do it.
That's about the best place I've ever heard to end the meeting. So we're at our time. Any last thoughts or comments, please go ahead. Otherwise, we can say Salom for, you know, till next month, and great meeting. Thanks, God.
Salom. Salom, everyone.
Closing the room.